This morning's sermon is called, I Am the Light of the World, from John chapter 8, verse 12 through 20. As we continue our journey through this amazing book, the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. In this passage, we'll see Jesus seize on another opportunity to use the moment to draw people to himself. Jesus did this back in chapter 4 with the woman, the Samaritan woman, by the well. When she was at the well drawing water, he said to her, I can give you living water. I am the living water that you need. He did the same thing in chapter 6 when Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women and children with the bread. He told them after doing so, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. In our passage this morning, Jesus does the same thing. He's going to seize on the opportunity to do the same thing. His timing is perfect. During the conclusion of the Feast of Tabernacles, there were lots of candles burning in the temple court, the woman's court, near the treasury. They also had four very large menorahs burning throughout the whole feast. So it was very bright, candles everywhere, thousands of candles. And as these candles were all lit up in the temple court, it was very bright, very lit up, and Jesus yells out to the people, I am the light of the world. Seizing on the moment. Turning their attention from their ritual to him as being the light of the world, the light, the true light that we all need. So let's go ahead and go through God's word. Let's go through our passage again. We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12 through 20. Let's take a look at verse 12. The Apostle John wrote, Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Notice Jesus didn't say, I am a light. He said, I am the light of the world. In the Old Testament, God used the name I am. I am to identify himself as Yahweh. Almighty God. You remember the story in Exodus, right? He sent Moses to go deliver a message for him to Pharaoh in Egypt. And he sent Moses to that. And Moses turned around and Moses, he said to God, he said, well, if Pharaoh asks me who sent me, who shall I tell him? And God said, tell him I am sent you. The title of God, Almighty God, Yahweh. And Jesus uses the same name, the same title in the New Testament. Right? Chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And now in chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world. Chapter 10, I am the gate. Chapter 10 also, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And chapter 15, I am the vine. The Apostle John recorded seven I am statements from Jesus while he was with him. This is the second one we see as we go through this book. I am the light of the world. Why is this so important? Because Jesus is declaring to us and to the world that he is God. That he is God. And he wants you and I to know this and believe this and believe in who he says he is. He is the second person in the triune Godhead, which makes him God. He is God the Son. He has always existed. He is eternal. This, when we begin this book in the first chapter, John, the Apostle John wrote, he said, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, the Father, and the Word, Jesus, was God. He was in the beginning with God, the Father. All things were made through Him, Jesus. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. Declaring that Jesus has always existed and that He is God. He is God in the flesh, and all things were made through Him. When Jesus prayed in the book of John chapter 7, Jesus prayed to the Father. Listen to what He prayed. Jesus said, Father, my hour has come. So He's praying because He's getting ready to go to the cross to be crucified. He said, oh, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with which the glory which I had with you before the world was. Before the world was. Restore my glory to you, the glory I had before the world was. Listen, understanding the truth, understanding this truth and believing it is extremely important, because your salvation is tied to this belief, believing that Jesus is God and who He says He is. Your salvation is tied to this, believing that Jesus is God. I bring this up often because many people struggle with this truth. Many religions, many false religions, many people do not believe that Jesus is God, which means they are not saved. They're actually condemned until they repent and believe this. It is critical for your salvation to get Jesus right. This is extremely important doctrine. If Jesus wasn't God, He wouldn't use God's titles, because it'd be blaspheme against God. And God said in Isaiah 42, I will share my glory with no other. So the Son would be blaspheming the Father if He wasn't God. He calls Himself God because He is God. He's God the Son. And it is critically for you to understand this and believe this truth. Your salvation is tied to that. To believe in the true biblical Jesus Christ. To believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is the Son of God, but He is also God. Again, He is the second person in the triune Godhead. And I know that most of you know this, but I know some of you struggle with this. Jesus is God. Second person of the Trinity. Listen, same deity, same power, same nature. Amen? Remember when Jesus, remember when Philip, the apostle Philip, said to Jesus, oh, just show us the Father, Jesus. What did Jesus say to him? He said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We are one. We are God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 11 and 9, listen to this. The Father calls Jesus God. Hebrews 1, 8 and 9. Listen carefully. But to the Son, the Father says, oh, your throne, O God. This is the Father talking to the Son. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. This is the Father talking to the Son. You have loved righteousness and you hate lawlessness. Therefore, God, Jesus, your God, the Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than all your companions. The scriptures are clear. Jesus is God, God in the flesh. I'll share one more with you. Revelation 1:8. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the Almighty. Declaring he's God. Otherwise, he wouldn't use God's title. It'd be blaspheme against the Father. It's so important for you to know this because your salvation is tied to knowing who Jesus is, believing him and knowing that he is God in the flesh. So important. So listen, the Pharisees understood this. They knew exactly what Jesus was saying when he was claiming to be God. He was claiming to be the light of the world. He was claiming to be the Messiah. That's what set them off. That's why they wanted to kill him. Because they thought he was calling himself God, the Messiah, the Christ, the light of the world. They knew exactly what Jesus was saying. And it's important that you know exactly what Jesus is saying. When Jesus said to them, he said, I am the light of the world. They knew that the Old Testament scriptures referred to the Messiah as the light. This is why they wanted to kill him. They said, you're not the Messiah. Jesus was declaring to him that he is the light of the world, the prophesied Messiah that all the prophets wrote about, the Christ, God in the flesh. Let's take a look at verse 13 and 14. So after Jesus says, he yells out to everybody, I am the light of the world. Verse 13 says, the Pharisees therefore said to Jesus, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from, and I know where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. By Jewish law, there had to be 2 to 3 witnesses for a testimony. That's in Deuteronomy 19. Okay? So they bring this up. So they say to Jesus right away, thinking of the old law, and Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. So they say to him, oh, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. We need more witnesses, Jesus. You're just telling us this. This is why they bring it up. They bring up Deuteronomy 19 to Jesus. We need more proof. Now, they've been around him for 3 years. It's about 3 years now, and none of his words moved them. They were spiritually dead. We need more proof. Come on. We need more witnesses. They're saying, listen, we don't have any witnesses here to confirm this, Jesus. We need more proof. This is exactly how unbelief operates as well. Unbelievers never have enough proof. Right? This is where it all starts, right here. We need more proof. We need some more witnesses. So the Pharisees say, we need more proof, Jesus, that you are who you say you are. Listen, his word should have convinced them. No one spoke like Jesus Christ. They saw his works. They saw his miracles. They saw the power that he had over disease, demons, death, nature. They didn't want to believe. This is called willful unbelief. Like many people today. Unwillful. Willful unbelief has sent millions of people to hell. Because they didn't believe. They didn't want to believe. They need more proof. Send down some fire from heaven and maybe I'll believe. is spiritually dead. So they brought up Deuteronomy 19, where there had to have been two or three witnesses. And by the way, this was put in place for liars, for people in general. We live in a world of liars and deceptions. So God did us a favor, and he put this in the Bible that we would have two or three or more witnesses to get to the truth. But this doesn't pertain to God. He is the truth. Jesus tells them, Jesus basically tells them, he says, first of all, I'm exempt from the law. I'm God. I came from heaven, he tells them, and I'm going back to heaven. You guys don't have a clue who I am. Or something like that. He might have said that. I would have. Otherwise, he tells them, otherwise you wouldn't bring this up. It is your lack of understanding of who I am that put you in this situation. He tells these Pharisees, this was written for the world of liars. Jesus tells them, the law was put in place for man, not for God. Just like the Sabbath was made for man, not God. Same thing. But they didn't want to believe. Let's take a look at verse 15 through 18. Jesus continues with them, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, Jesus said, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Amen. Jesus said, you judge according to the flesh. Your judgments are fleshly. In other words, you just go off of what you see. Your judgment is clouded by sin, tainted by self, in darkness because of sin. This is a heated conversation he's having with these religious leaders. Jesus said, did you notice Jesus said? He says, I judge no one. Remember back in chapter 3 when Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, hey, Nicodemus, I didn't come to condemn the world. The world is already condemned by sin. I came to save. He's going to judge the next second coming. So he says, I judge no one. The world's already condemned because of sin. He says, but I came to save Nicodemus. That's why I came. That's why the Father sent me, to come and save and seek the lost so that they could have life in me, that they wouldn't die in their sins. Jesus will judge everybody in the next life. Listen, Jesus, everybody who has ever lived, will stand before Jesus Christ one day. The Bible's clear on that. And he will either be your Savior or he will be your judge, depending on your relationship with him. But he didn't come to judge his first time. But God has given him all authority to judge the living and the dead. And we all one day will stand before Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray everybody here will stand before him, and he'll be your Savior, not your judge. If he's your judge, you are sent to eternal damnation for eternity, separated from God's grace. You guys have heard me say this before. Everybody in hell today is a believer now. But it's too late. Jesus said, I came to save, to give you life. Free gift. Just turn to me, come to me, follow me, believe in me, and receive me. as Lord and Savior and place your faith and trust in me and me alone, not your works, me alone, and I'll save you. It's a free gift. Free gift. You notice Jesus also said in these verses, right? He said, if I do judge, my judgment is true, he says. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, me and the Father, we're in perfect harmony when it comes to judgment. That's what he's telling us. Jesus also said, he goes, it is also written in the law that the testimony of two men is true. He says, that's correct. He says, I am one who bears witness of myself and the Father who bears witness of me. Right? I bear witness of myself. My Father bears witness of me. That makes two witnesses if you really do want two witnesses, he tells them. My witness is true and the Father's witness is true. There's your two witnesses. Can you imagine how heated this conversation was? And you know the thing is, because of God's grace and his mercy and his love for them, he never gave up on them. These are Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes. These are wretched religious leaders who don't even know God. And Jesus never gave up on them. He continued to tell them what they needed to be saved. You and I, we may have given up on him. Not Jesus. He doesn't give up. All your loved ones, all your friends that aren't saved, that you keep praying for, he hears. You may have moved on. He hasn't. He remembers those dark days, 2 a.m. in the morning when you cried and said, please save so-and-so. They're so far from you, Lord. Please move into their heart. You might have moved on, but Jesus remembered that prayer. We got to keep praying for the unsaved loved ones. Let's take a look at verse 19. Then they, the Pharisees, said to Jesus, where is your Father? More mockery. More mockery. Where's your Father, Jesus? I would have been done right then. I'm going home. Not Jesus. He stays in the fight. Me, I'd have been like, yeah, you're right. See you later. Not Jesus. He doesn't give up. Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Wow. That's some powerful words right there. You know what Jesus is saying to them? You think you know God, but you don't. You are so far from God. That's what Jesus tells them. You think you know God? You don't. And one day you will say to me, Lord, Lord. And I will say to you, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Matthew 7:23. And one day, you will seek me, and you will look for me, and you will not find me, because where I am going, you cannot come. John 7:34. Tragic. Tragic text in the scriptures. Matthew 23 and John 7:34, which we went through. Jesus warned them, and he warns the world. What's to come? Let's take a look at our final verse. Verse 20. John writes, these words Jesus spoke in the treasury. This is the temple court, the woman's court, where all the candles were burning, as he taught in the temple. and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. We read this once again as we've been going through the Gospel of John. The Pharisees wanted to take Jesus and have him killed, but no one laid hands on him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. They were on a divine control. Jesus was on a divine schedule, and no one was going to interrupt it. The Father had divine control on these people. They were powerless. One more thing that we'll partake in communion. Jesus told us at the beginning of this passage, he said, I am the light of the world. And he said something very important for you and I to know right after that. He said, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is telling us, I am to be followed because I am the light of the world, and I will lead you and guide you to my Father. Jesus is saying, I am the only one who can remove you from darkness. He's saying, I'm the only one who can remove you from darkness. I am the only one who can grant you forgiveness, peace, joy, and eternal life. Jesus said, I am the only one. Jesus is declaring to all those who turn to him, follow him, believe in him, trust him, receive him as Lord and Savior, and place their faith and trust in him and him alone for their salvation, will be saved. Amen? All right, let's go ahead. We'll go ahead and sing our communion hymn this morning. If you can stand, please stand. Our communion hymn is on page 459. We'll sing this together.